Hello, and thanks for listening to the Kept Faith Podcast. I'm Nick McCann. I'm joined by Travis Russell.
Hey, go Padres. Opening week. I can't believe, Nick, it's finally here. It feels like, at least 2 years since this day has come. It's been a while.
No more spring training. We're also joined by Dallas McLaughlin.
Hey, are we allowed to watch the game yet? Did they figure out a way to put it on TV?
I'm just assuming it's going to work out. And I'm just going to have it.
we have faith.
They're showing them Sundays on KOSI, right? Is that what they're doing?
Maybe.
Okay, good. Yeah. Excited.
That would be a tribute to my childhood for sure. Well, 51 on 51. That used to be the thing.
Flanked by Saved by the Bell episodes.
Yes.
There's a Padres game right in the middle. Can't wait. Anyway.
Well, yeah. We also have a very special guest today, a reporter from Channel 10 News, Marie Cornell. How you doing,
Hey,
Marie?
What's up, guys? How you all doing?
Yes. Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting me hang out.
Yeah. Opening week. And what's your plans for opening day?
So I'll go ahead with the shameless plug. If you cannot sleep and you are awake from 4:30 to 7, you have to tune in to 10 News because we're going to have team coverage. I'm going to be at Park at the Park. My coworker, Jared Ahrens, will be somewhere else near Petco. We're going to have a big spiel. And throughout the day, we also have Steve Smith and, of course, Ben Higgins. So I will be busy running around trying to find the super fans.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Nice plug. Look at that. Straight
there
up.
There you
top.
Go. Just, yeah.
Love it. Ben Higgins would be so proud if he was awake.
Yes. I learned from the best.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's this pandemic baseball seems like it's gonna be over with, kind of. I mean, it's not gonna be like last opening day where we were so, I think, grateful to have a season. What's it been like covering news in this city during the pandemic?
So I feel that, in terms of the pandemic, on a personal level, you see the impact it's had on family and friends. It felt like, as it went through, you started to know people who were impacted by it. Then on the professional level, all I heard were the numbers, the new cases, the outbreaks, the restrictions, what's happening now with these businesses, the livelihood of these businesses. And so I feel like last year around this time, it was something exciting to say, hey, baseball's back, even though we can't physically be there. It brought some level of excitement back. It was different, obviously, but it still shined a light on kind of the situation we were in. But definitely excited now that, some fans will be allowed back there. But I feel that, just the way it worked last year, the excitement just kept building. And then when the postseason happened, even though, we weren't allowed there, my gosh, you saw how people were celebrating. I mean, it was all over social media. You saw, the news stations covering what was going on downtown. And while I was watching that, I was thinking, my goodness, can you imagine what it would be like if there was no pandemic and this was happening in real life and people could celebrate and cheer on the Padres as they normally would? It was just, it was something to look forward to.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was listening back to some of the episodes we were doing before the start of the last season, and we were just so skeptical about whether or not there would even be a season because there was the labor dispute that seemed like it was about to get really ugly. And then they just kind of snapped their fingers and solved it and had a pretty, I mean, you got to give them credit. I think, that Major League Baseball did pull something off in a pretty, pretty crazy time, but I forgot
how mad I was last year when baseball wasn't coming back.
Yeah.
I remember being like so furious, no more season tickets for me, kind of, that mad about baseball not coming back. So,
yeah, it definitely turned from being like so angry to, oh my God, we get baseball every day. Every single day is a baseball game. Like, this is intense. It was so intense.
Yeah, and it was a fun season. And even though it crowned an illegitimate champion, we still had baseball, and I think it brought people together. There was a piece that came out of the LA Times this week from Bill, I always forget how to say his name, Shankin?
Bill doesn't matter.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, he wrote an article that I think we're going to see this come up often throughout this season.
I mean, just to piggyback into that, Nick, was it Zach Graham who also wrote a thing for The Ringer too?
Yeah, he did. But that was more about just like the comparisons of the teams. But
gotcha.
This piece from the LA Times, it was basically about how the Padres and Dodgers aren't a real rivalry. It's really the Giants and Dodgers. So what did you think about that, Maria? I saw you tweeting about it. That was
I'm pretty vocal on social media, but I feel like it just brings out the insecurities. I mean, I feel like there on the national stage, there's this storyline, right? That's already built up, Padres versus the Dodgers. And I feel like the media in LA, the fans, and even the Dodgers themselves, they're going out of their way to make sure, no, there is no rivalry. Where at the end of the day, like, play the game and we'll see what happens, you know? And regardless of whether it's the Dodgers, the Giants, you know, the Rockies, I don't care. I just want the Padres to win, so.
Yeah, I did. Like, it's so funny to me that they're spending so much time telling us there's no rivalry when it's like, wait, what? Why then? Why do you care? Then why are you writing about it? Like, obviously something's happening that you feel like that we're going to overtake you in popularity, which, by the way, for the most part, according to like those black market tickets for games, I think Padres are the most expensive and behind them is the Dodgers. So already like we're outpacing you on several categories, but it's like, if you're going to give us attention, then then we won already. Like, we already won. I think it's so funny. Padres Twitter, it's for as toxic as it is, it's like really, it can be, but it's like at the same time, they're making strides in making the Padres relevant. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's also go ahead. I was just going to ask, has there ever been a rivalry shift in history where, you know, obviously, historically, it's been the Giants and the Dodgers. But this year, unless they just like to beat up on the Dodgers, it's not going to be as competitive as it has been in the past. Has rivalries ever shifted in the past where, you know, one team used to hate one team and then they shifted it? Be interesting to know.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain just examples of that. I think, you know, one example is, you know, how in the Big Ten, Michigan State has kind of inserted itself into the Michigan versus Ohio State rivalry, right? I mean, would you say that, Dallas, as a Buckeyes fan? I don't know, but that's like sometimes when they're relevant, the other teams in the Big Ten have.
You know what I would say, Nick? I would say that dynamic is actually a very good comparison to the whole Dodgers Padres Giants.
Yeah.
Like things like Ohio State and Michigan is you're not going to beat it, even though Michigan has been just nothing for like a decade now, but you look at it, it's like the Giants and Dodgers. Yes, that's the rivalry that's been happening since they were in New York. Like, we get it. Like, they hate each other. It's been fun. It's fun for them. I bet it's fantastic. But the Padres are like Michigan State, where it's like, guess what? Like, we're good now. And there's going to be a couple of years where we're going to be way better than both of you. And you have to respect it. And it's going to mean something to you because you're going to lose games and championships because of it. Do I think we'll ever overtake the Giants? No, because the Giants will be good again at some point. But the thing I take umbrage with is all these people going, the Dodgers were the team of the 2000s. And I'm like, well, interesting, because who won the more championships in the 2000s? Was it the Giants or the Dodgers? Mm-hmm. Like, what are you talking about? It's so weird.
To me, the problem with that article is the patting on the head of the Padres fans. Like, oh, you don't you don't really understand the concept of rivalry.
Right.
You don't understand competition. This is all new to you. It's like, actually, we do understand that. We've been going to a stadium that's been filled with this other fan base's fans for years. It's not like we don't understand how competition works. We don't have a deficit in that, you know? Like, it's this idea that because our baseball team hasn't been relevant, that we don't have this deeper understanding of it. I think we're going to see this crop up over and over again, at least until the Padres win a playoff series that matters, you know?
Thank
you. Yeah. Whoa, we beat the Cardinals. That mattered.
Hey,
that
felt good. Matter. It did matter. It felt
good.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That felt good the one time. the first time.
So Marie, you have three young boys. How are they processing this team, this run that we're about to be on?
I feel, I don't want to say this, but I feel a little jealous because, you know, growing up, my dad, you know, huge Padre fan. I remember playing Barbies in the backyard and he had the radio blaring. We had Coleman, Leitner, and it was just, and Chandler, and it was ingrained. Like that was just what you did. You know, if my parents didn't take me to a game, it was on the radio. And I'm now seeing it that I'm doing it to our boys, but they're super excited about it. I mean, you know, we were talking before about my going to be 10-year-old, and like this kid like analyzes everything. I mean, he is reading, breathing, eating everything Padres, that like sometimes I ask him questions because he's so fully fledged into it. But at the same time, also when, you know, games don't go the way we want it to, they feel the pain. And I feel bad for them because it's like, ah, oh, I know what that's like. And you're feeling it right now, you know? So it's great that we're starting them young and they're so excited about something, but you also, you know, you kind of want to like guide them, like, all right, remember this is just a sport, you know, because they're young, you're 10, 7 and going to be 4. So yeah. Yes. Yeah,
so for your 10-year-old, like what is his reference point? Where does his cognitive memory begin with the Padres? Is he like around the fifth, like the 2015 splurge of trades?
So when I moved back from East Coast to the West Coast, it was when Tony Gwynn had passed away. And I remember he was like a year and a half. And we took him to, do you guys remember they had that huge like memorial at Petco? And obviously he doesn't remember any of that, but I was there taking pictures. Like we have the program that's framed up. And now he's like, that's so cool that I was there. He's like telling his friends, I was there at that, you know? So I feel like even though he may not remember everything, now that we're showing him, hey, this is where you were, this is what happened, he's kind of, he feels even more connected. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I it's fascinating to me that there are fans out there that didn't have to go through the Matt Latos era. Like, you know what I mean? Like they never had to buy in to Cashner or Latos. Yeah. Like the kids in San Diego have it so good.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Do they know how lucky they have it? Maybe your son remembers a few of the losing years, but once they start winning like they're supposed to, it's going to be an experience that I don't know. I don't even know what I'm going to feel like about it, so.
I mean, like when we went to spring training, we were able to go last year before the pandemic really shut everything down. Mm. And they were so excited to see Tatis, to see Machado. There was this point where it was one of the games and like Machado actually threw a ball over the net and my son caught it and he was so excited. Oh, wow. And then Machado tipped his cap and he was just like on cloud nine. And meanwhile, like we're like, oh my gosh, you know, like geeking out. And so, I mean, it's just, they're just so excited for the season.
Hey, if Machado threw me a ball and tipped his cap, I would be on cloud nine. I would be acting the same way. Yes.
So when Tatis signs his, you know, 14-year deal, his extension, how are you explaining that to them in a way? Or do they just know he's going to be there.
They just know. Yeah. They're like, he's forever going to be a Padre.
That's so cool.
So, I mean, I'm not going to argue with him, you know, like, it is what it is. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That feels good. What?
Right?
Well, I think, you know, we've talked about this before, but like Tatis doesn't have any relationship to the past that we've gone through as a sports city. And there's something about like, you know, the stadium being gone and this new rebirth, and it, yeah, he's not connected to that past that's so angsty and sad, you know. So I'm excited for the generation coming up that just doesn't have that reference point of being always disappointed all the time. I don't know. It's gonna be amazing.
So it feels like a John Adams quote about, I study politics, so we've suffered for our, so our kids can have, you know, great baseball to watch is what it feels like. We put in all the hard suffering so that they can enjoy this, you know, amazing team that we just never seen before.
And when it comes down to it, it's definitely because of us that they're good.
Yeah,
I mean, we've kept the faith, Dallas. We've kept the faith. Yeah.
This is our 13th season we're going into.
Exactly. It's us. We did
a lot of sadness.
A lot of sadness.
What do you guys think about the roster? Is there any areas, Dallas, about the, you know, that's coming out of spring training that you're focusing on? It seems like Lamet's probably not going to be in the starting staff.
Yeah, I mean,
out of the gate. He's going to pitch tomorrow, but
I think like, you know, I mean, it's a tough one because I've never been, not that I don't like Trent Grisham. Okay. He's fine. He's fine to me. I think he I think in a full season, he'll be very exposed. He's fine. I just think that we have CJ Abrams who can play center, and he's been crazy good in spring, and we should just play him. Like, Trent Grisham is hurt. He's going through an injury. I just want CJ Abrams. That's all I care about. You know, I just think there's a player there that we're, I get worried. And this is the old Padre fan of me coming out, peeking its head out. It's like, I get worried that we have this great young player, like a Trey Turner or something. And because we don't have a spot for him, because we have Khalil or somebody else who's not great, but is fine in his position. Well, we have him. So why would we need this great young player? And then they ship him off and, you know, he turns into, you know, a fantastic offensive production producer. So that's what worries me about this Trent Grisham thing, is that, I don't know, I just want CJ Abrams. That's my biggest concern. And then Lamet's going to have Tommy John. Like, it should just happen. It's so ridiculous right now. I can't even believe that they haven't just done it. Like, I mean, right?
The whole offseason not to just do it.
And he's going to pitch tomorrow. He's going to have elbow discomfort. He's going to just go get surgery. This is so stupid. Like, we have people who can take your spot right now. Just go do it. Like, I don't get it.
Who are the younger pitchers that you're interested in seeing this year, Marie? Is there Marajone, Weathers, Gore? There's,
I mean, those guys. I think for me, I've been more focused just on, okay, so I don't know if you guys follow me on social media. I'm so ingrained on seeing Paddock back to where he was. Like, I even have like a little sheriff's hat, you know? So I feel like at the end of the day, I just want to see them succeed and win. Because, like, regardless of, you know, you can look towards the future. I mean, as a Padre fan, rather just a San Diego fan, you're always hearing like, okay, we're going to be great in X number of years. Well, like, I'm tired of waiting, you know, like, right. I don't want to just see it. I want to actually be there and for it to happen. So that's where my mind frame is.
Well, yeah, we have at the front end of the rotation, you have Yu Darvish pitching on opening day, and then Snell. It's, I mean, I'm so excited about those two mainly. I think that's really the thing that just really put me over the moon with this team, is that they just fixed that problem that was a glaring problem going into that playoff series with the Dodgers. So,
well, and Musgrove. I mean, you look at Musgrove.
Yeah, Musgrove
had a great spring.
He's playing really well, and that's just
coming into his prime.
I don't remember ever feeling this way going into a season with the Padres. I mean, it was always like some starter that was going to be, you know, he would have been a third or fourth starter on a contending team, getting the opening day start, you know, like Eric Lauer or Chassine, you know, one of those years where you're just, I mean, I still have flashbacks to 2016 where they just open with that Dodger series where they don't score any runs for a week. You know, like,
yeah,
I mean, we've been through a lot. So
yeah, we created a domain, and I think I still might have it, or it's somewhere. It's like days since Padres scored a run, and it would keep track of every day, because it had gone on to like 10 days into the season or something. They had yet to score a run. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Tough times, lean times. But yeah, lean Nick, times. I can't ever remember an off coming into a season where I was like this either. And even like the young talent has been so good, where it's like before we're like, oh, maybe Tatis gets on the team. Now we have, it's like, who do you cut? Like,
yeah,
there's a lot of talent that could be on any other San Diego Major League roster on opening day 3 or 4 years ago. You know, it's pretty impressive. Even our with the injuries at catcher and stuff.
I was just going to say that
everyone's like, that doesn't even feel insecure. Like, everyone stepped up and there's been production at catcher, even with Nola down, and it's crazy.
Yeah. It is one of those things where, like, I'm going to always say it wrong. Campusano.
Campusano.
Anybody? Yeah. Hello.
That's it.
Bueller. That's right. He was supposed to be the guy anyway. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, we traded away Torrens and, God forbid Austin Hedges pokes his head back into our lives. And, you know, Mejia, everybody was gone. And it's because Camposano was supposed to be the guy. And then they went in and got Nola just in case. And, you know, so I'm actually excited. Like you said, Travis, like, it's a bummer that Nola's hurt, you know, and what a crappy injury to have. But I'm excited to see who steps up. Even Caratini, for God's sakes. Yeah, like,
exactly. You
know, kind of into it.
So, yeah.
It's great.
Of the pitchers, who are your sons really into? Are they
so are they looking at Gore? Darvish.
Darvish.
That was the latest fight was, you know, I want a new jersey. Which jersey do you want? You know, so that's, yeah.
He's good on Twitter. He's really funny. Yeah.
He's great on Twitter. I love you, Darvish, on Twitter.
Might not be as good as Will Myers on Twitter, but that's a, hey, what's up, man?
And that's soon to be 10.
All right, see you later.
She's like,
not another podcast.
kids see Zoom and they just run nowadays.
Yes. Right?
Homework? No homework. I want homework.
All right. Well, hey, Marie, thanks for coming on and just chatting with us for a little bit. We're really excited about the opening day. You can follow her on Twitter at 10 News Coronel. That's right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Yep. And then, check her out. I guess you'll be there on opening day around the park.
So. Looking for super fans. So if you'd like to be interviewed, definitely hit me up.
All right. Cool. Awesome. Hit her up. And we're going to, after this break, we're going to go talk to a friend of the pod, Sean O'Donnell. He's a Giants fan. So we're going to do a segment called the NL West House. And this is the version with the Giants. So we're going to talk about what we just talked about with Marie with one of the enemy fan bases. So check it out. And follow Marie on everything. And we'll see, maybe check in later on this season.
Absolutely.
All right, go Padres.
Padres.
Hello, Kept Faith listeners. 2021 is finally here. The most anticipated Padres season in over a decade is almost upon us, and we want to be there with you every step of the way. Go to patreon.com/thekeptfaith. That is patreon.com/thekeptfaith. And join us today. $1, $5, $10, or $50 million. Those are the only available options. Every little bit goes a long way. Join us today. Join our army, and we will take down all the other podcasts one at a time. Patreon.com/thekeptfaith. We would love to have you a part of our team. And who knows, you might get a free gift here and there or something else. Or I don't know, maybe you'll just get a high five next time we see you, but probably shouldn't touch each other right now, at least for another year. It's nothing personal. It's the pandemic.
You're now entering the NL West House presented by TalksChrome.com.
All right, we're in the NL West House with Sean O'Donnell from Tox Chrome.
What's up?
Other things. Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, I want to say right now, it's been like 6 years since I've been on the show, Nick. What's the deal? Am I like kicked out? I'm not in good graces anymore?
We had to put you in the cooler.
All those World Series wins. I get it.
Yeah. I mean, you have legitimate World Series wins. And
you're the last NL West team to have a legitimate World Series win.
What stinks is it was a lot of wins in a short amount of time. It feels like 40 years ago. Like they've been so bad since then that it feels like, man, did we win the World Series?
When was the last one, Sean?
It was 2014, Dallas. 2014.
Oh, okay. I honestly thought it was 2016. That's not a joke.
So that was the whole joke was, they're going to win in 2016. And that, you know, that didn't happen. But
Bruce Bochy died.
No, he's such a bummer.
No, he died.
Well, thank you for having me back. I'm a big fan, and it's been a while. It's
good. And that's it. Thanks for coming, Sean. Right. That was a lot of fun.
Go Giants.
Well, we wanted to have you on because your team is irrelevant, and we just want to.
What's it like to be in our shoes?
You know what's funny is, I follow the team, but obviously to get ready for this, I was like, I'm going to do a little bit deeper dive than I normally do. And irrelevant is nice. We are less than irrelevant right now.
Who's playing second?
Donnie Barrels, buddy. Donovan Solano.
Oh, dude. But come on, Donnie Barrels. Hey, that's a great name.
Silver Slugger, Donnie Barrels. All right. Donnie Barrels. Let's not forget. I apologize. He's 42 years old. it's a really unexciting year for the Giants. The biggest thing that we missed out on last year was no minor leagues. The most excited I got was reading reports of what was happening in Sacramento, where it's like, ooh, Marco Luciano had lunch today. I was like, yes, tell me more. I don't care what, Austin Slater's doing. So
Oh.
Anyway.
Alex Dickerson went on a tour of Alcatraz.
Like, ooh. I like The Athletic. I'm a subscriber. I listened to their podcast with the Giants. And the last one, like 2 weeks ago, was whether or not Nick Tropiano was going to make the team. That was like 40% of the podcast. It's just like, that's where we're at. Mm-hmm. And the only thing to be excited about is that it's Giants baseball. And it's the same thing. It's the whole idea behind the kept faith. You just loved your team, and there are those years. And when they won the World Series for the third time, I said, you know what? It could be the rest of my life, and we may never get there again. That's the odds. So it's baseball. There are a lot of prospects I'm excited about. I'll be probably paying more attention to the minor leagues this year than the majors. So,
oh man, do you live? Because I had the pleasure the last few years of living close to the Storm, so I could go see some of the prospects. I feel like, don't the Giants have like the San Jose Giants or something?
I'm 10 minutes away. It's amazing. Oh, man. It's a really old, it's been there for like 50 years. So, oh, wow. Like, going is really fun. I'm kind of interested to see what it's like going from being the high A to the low A. I'm kind of excited about that because maybe we'll get some of the guys from the draft sooner than before. And it seemed like it's single A. Well, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, you know, it's cool about it, that. Maybe they did it already with being high A before, but like what was cool about the Storm is I think they're low A. I'm pretty sure. Maybe they're high A.
No, everyone switched. You guys were high A because we were in the same league together. I liked going to see the Storm.
Yeah, because we would see the San Jose Giants. Yeah.
So they moved. Everyone who was high A is now low A, and all the high A went to the Pacific Northwest. They're like in Seattle and stuff.
I was just going to say, because that level was fun because and being so close, because then the pros, when they were rehabbing, they would come
play
at the Storm game. So you could go see, you know, Will Myers and Paddock and all these guys that were rehabbing.
For sure. Super cool. For sure. Yeah, we would get like Madison Bumgarner would come and pitch in San Jose like once a year, you know, because of that. So
yeah. So rad. Madison Bumgarner. Hey, come
opening
on.
Day, wow. Opening day starter for the Diamondbacks.
Hey, I mean, you know, I really missed last year not having that. It just, even as a fan, even not, you know, I love going, but just following the minor league system, especially right now. You guys remember a few years ago where all the excitement was on the young guys.
Yes, that's all we talked about.
And that's where the Giants are. We finally have like two guys in the top 100, where that hasn't been the case for 10 years.
Right.
So that's where most of, I think, the Giants fans are looking. There's a lot of needs that need to be met for the Giants.
Can I ask, Madison Bumgarner, you know, listen, I own him on fantasy, but he's a universally deemed a piece of shit. And, you know, he's just not a nice person. You don't want to like hang out with him. But he was integral to those successful Giants years. So do you still root for him in some way?
Oh, for sure. I mean, like, if you were a Giants fan and you went through, all I can think about when I think about Madison Bumgarner is him coming out, you know, in the fourth inning of game seven and his arm's like falling off. Like they take, like Bochy's in the back, like duct taping his arm and like, just go finish this us.
Rest
I mean,
in
it,
peace.
It was like something out of a movie, like a, you know, like some kind of like superhero movie. And you're watching going like, how is he doing this? So he will forever, you know, even with all the nonsense later and the dirt bikes and the rodeo stuff.
I forget about that.
The Diamondbacks.
I forgot about the rodeo.
The rodeo thing that happened in between when he left the Giants. So the Diamondback fans can deal with that baggage.
Arizona loves it.
He will always be, you know, like a hero for Giants fans. We watched him come up as what he was like a 19-year-old pitcher.
Yeah, I remember.
In 2010, he pitched 7 innings of like 1-run ball, and they interviewed him like, "How was that?" And he's like, "I was just like pitching in high school." And you're like, "What are you saying right now?" You know, he's a Giants legend.
Sean, what birthday of that of yours was it where he pitched and we were all at the game in the, what was that?
Oh, that was last year or 2 years ago, right? And that was,
no, it was,
are you talking about my 40th?
That was 2 years
ago. No, that was,
you're talking about when we went to San Francisco.
That was my 29th birthday.
He was like a kid pitching that night. He pitched in that game and we were all like, oh yeah, this new Bumgarner kid.
Yeah. And so
we're old.
That's how long he's, I mean, you know what I mean? Like he was a kid.
Yeah, I totally remember that. Yep.
So yeah, Giants fans, we love Madison Bumgarner. Even if he went to the Dodgers, you'd still love him. You know, it's just one of those things.
So now that, you know, now that the fan base, that your fan base is in this position that you ultimately deserve, but how is ownership packaging this to you this season? Are they trying to sell you a route to coming back? Like, this is a developmental year. How open are they about that with the fan base?
Yeah, I've gotten emails about what their plans are for attendance, you know, and I in the position I am with three small kids, I've been to like two games in the last, you know, 4 years. It's just it's a huge event to try to get to a game. I go to way more of the San Jose Giants games. We're in Santa Clara County, which is one of the more stricter counties for sports. So I couldn't tell you how many people they're planning on letting in. They didn't let the Sharks play at home for the entire month of February, I think. Like, that's just kind of what it's like here. So, you know, the Giants have such a fan base that even with a subpar, everyone's 33 years old, they're still going to have people coming, you know, especially after losing a year of baseball, right? You're going to have people, they don't care if, you know, Darren Ruff is playing first base. They want to go see their team. They miss him. And I'm in that boat too. I hope to get to a game. But as far as what the plan is, I don't know exactly what they're doing with attendance. I'm sure it will be limited until things, you know, change.
Well, that's exciting. I mean, hey, there's, you know, we were on the Tox Chrome last week, and you famously got a Joey Bart autograph card. So this is your chance now. Tell us about your Joey Bart, the relationship you have with Joey Bart, because it seems like you have that Buster Posey feeling towards
him. I do, you know, he's not Buster Posey by any means.
One ever will be.
Buster Posey is a...
Oh, this Buster is going to be a great debate for the next 10 years.
Buster Posey is, honestly, he's a once in a lifetime. Yeah. You know, you look at catcher, and especially with the, you know, all of us playing fantasy, like, how often do you have a catcher who's good the next year? You know, it's always like, this is the guy right now. And then the next year it's someone else. So for Posey to be as good as he was and to contribute to not only the three World Series wins, but however many no hitters and a perfect game. Obviously he was such a well-rounded.
Well, and he could hit. Most catchers cannot hit like that. He's so frustrating.
And if he would have played first base, I mean, his numbers would have been so much better. Yeah. Joey Bart is nothing like Buster Posey at all. Other than I've been a fan of his since he was at Georgia Tech. He called his own games. That was the big thing I remember reading. Like, not a lot of college catchers are calling their own games. He was advanced enough that they were letting him do that. So when the 2018 draft happened and the Tigers took Casey Mize, I was like, here we go. It's Bart season. They took him. And I followed him that year. My son and I went to the first game he played for the San Jose Giants in 2019, watched him hit a home run. It was just, you know, it was great. It was awesome. He got hurt a lot in 2019. I think he might have broken his hand twice. And so, you know, he's coming back from that injury. Didn't have a lot of time in 2019, 2020, Buster Posey and his wife adopt twins. And so it's like, you know, they're like, Buster's not going to play. Bart just got thrown into the action way too soon. He didn't hit any home runs. He didn't have a great season. When they brought in Kurt Casale, and Dallas is going to laugh now. Kind of the writing was on the wall that Bart was going to go back down to the minors. And I think he needs it. I think he'll be up later this year. I think he's awesome. He's not Buster Posey at all. And that's fine. He doesn't need
to. Did Buster Posey name his twins Joey and Bart? Because that would have been amazing.
Can we talk about how amazing it is that our friend's name is Joseph Bart Chandler? So that was
that's incredible.
I love Joey Bart.
A combination of names you would never expect to hear again.
All of the Joe Barts in my life, I'm a fan of.
How old is Joe Bart?
So I think he is maybe like 23 because he was college. Okay. He was a college junior. That was 2 years ago. 23, 24.
God, man, his first MLB game seems like it was 5 years ago for some reason.
No, that was last year. I mean,
I know, but that's what I'm saying. I feel like I'm just hearing his name forever.
In a perfect world for me as a Giants fan, the NL brings back the DH. Joey Bart puts on like 30 pounds and just DHs and just crushes, you know, splash hits for the next 10 years. The Giants took Patrick Bailey last year, catcher out of North Carolina. I think he's probably going to be the catcher of the future. If they don't adopt the DH, Bart probably ends up being a first baseman anyways. So I see him more of like, it's about the bat with Joey Bart. If you see the guy play, and I've seen him in person, he looks just like a bigger human than everyone else. Like he's just all trunk and power, and he's awesome.
Do you still have Brandon Belt? Is he still a
Brandon Belt?
Okay. All right. Is he? Yeah.
Every article about the Giants is, will he be ready or not for opening day? And
I mean, again,
whether it's Darren Ruff or Brandon Belt.
Oh, those, Darren Ruff.
Those are your 2021 San Francisco Giants.
Hey, I drafted Darren Ruff one time in our league when he was with the Phillies. I think he was like supposed to be the first baseman after Ryan Howard, and it didn't work out.
He's 35, I think. Giants are really old, by the way. I think the average age is 32. I'm not kidding. It really like their whole lineup is all over 30. Except for Mauricio Dubon, their center fielder.
I feel like we had a debate in San Diego for a long time who was going to be the better option at catcher, Tom Lampkin or Nick Hundley. And so I get it. I get it. We've been there.
Tom Lampkin. Yes. Oh, where are they now?
Oh, man. Dead. They're all dead with Bruce Bochy. He got into that accident.
Bruce Bochy's not dead.
Nah, he was driving the car. He's dead.
He's going to be the skipper of the Padres this year. Everyone knows it.
He's just waiting in the wind.
He's going to come in September to win the series.
No, you guys are going to lose the first 30 games of the season straight, and they're going to call Boch, and he's going to like ride in on a horse. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, they'll send out the eagle, and it'll go to Bochy's house.
I'm excited though. Whatever happens, I'm excited.
Well, yeah. So yeah, we have this this top heavy division where the Padres and Padres and Dodgers are the two best teams. Everybody kind of knows that. This week there was an article in the LA Times from this idiot who wrote a whole thing about how this San Diego and the Dodgers, that's not a real rivalry. Or his tweet was actually Dodgers versus San Diego, a rivalry? That's a giant reach. And the whole article is basically about how he really did that, which is this is one of the most important newspapers in the world too, and he works for, so it's anyways, he wrote this article. How do you feel about that as kind of maybe on the sidelines this season? I mean, obviously the history with the Dodgers and Giants is so rich, but you know, we're kind of taking your spot here, so how do you feel about
it? Well, here's where I come from. I come from a household where it was like, my parents were Padres fans because they both had grown up in San Diego. I grew up in Daly City, so I grew up going to Giants games. So that's the team that I liked. So there was kind of a mutual, like, we like the Giants, we like the Padres, but the Dodgers are the enemy, right? That was like, you know, these two guys are okay. This is the bad people. So I think the problem, here's what I think the disconnect. I understand why you're upset and offended at this. You guys on paper are the most exciting baseball team in the major leagues, right? I mean, that's not a stretch.
And that's like, never been said before on our team, ever.
But here's the problem. You guys now have to go out and do it. You guys have to go out and beat the Dodgers in the playoffs for it to become a real rivalry. Because while it is going to be a rivalry for you both to win the NL West, I think you're both playoff teams. You have to get in their way. Like, you guys on paper are awesome, but you haven't gotten in their way. You haven't gotten in the Giants' way. And for the Padres to be taken as seriously as you want them to be, and I think as they deserve to be, you got to go out and you got to wreck some stuff. And until you do, I can understand the sentiment. Giants and Dodgers goes back a really long time. So even when the Giants stink, it still exists, right? You know, the Diamondbacks, the Rockies, they're going to have to put in like another 70 years before anyone cares about who their rivals are. Right. And that's just how it is. When I look at the Rockies, I'm like, oh, look at that. That's so cute. They've got a baseball team. You know what I mean? Like, it's just one of those things. It's history. And the Padres, they haven't had those meetings, those playoff games. I think you will, but you haven't had them yet. And so until that happens, I get what he's saying, even if it's offensive to you. You know what I mean? Like, you guys have to go.
I get it.
You guys have to go spoil the Dodgers season this year. And and that's going to make people mad enough in LA that they're not going to write that. You have to go punch them in the mouth.
I'm hearing what you're saying. We have to go murder the Dodgers.
Sean Toxcomb told me to kill
Clayton Kershaw. I get it.
But I mean, do you think I'm wrong, or do you, like?
Yeah, I think this is going to keep cropping up until they win it. They at least go further in the playoffs or beat them in the playoffs.
Yeah,
I just think it's funny. The premise isn't the premise isn't the Padres haven't won anything. It's the Padres aren't the Dodgers' rival. And it's like that premise is you are making it. I mean, and maybe that's the goal. Possibly the media's goal here is to make it a rivalry. And so they're saying, you know, it's not a rivalry. It's not. And true. Like, we haven't had the important matchups that the Dodgers and the Giants have had, but like, we've still played each other and we've, you know what I mean? I don't know. There's like, we're so close, and the Dodgers like rip on the Padres. Dodgers fans for years and years and years. So like, there is something there, but it's just funny. The premise is, well, it's not a real rivalry. Well, it's like, we haven't even really done anything yet, but you're the ones making it. You're the ones making a stink out of it. Like, not us.
I think, and by the way, I'm saying like, you guys need to win a playoff game. I actually think it could happen before that. It could happen this season. If you guys start beating the Dodgers, because anytime someone posts something on Twitter about the Padres did this, the Padres did this, there's always some miserable Dodger fan going like, oh yeah, well, you guys are going to be in second place. It's like, if you guys can go out there and beat the Dodgers in all the like regular season games, it could happen before what I'm saying, but they have to go do it. Right.
Yeah, I think if we were to win the division, that'd be a step closer to at least.
Can you imagine that? If the Dodgers get in the wild card, that would be so huge for the team. But do you guys care? It's the Dodgers. Like, you know what I mean? Like, who cares?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, that is the bigger thing. It's like, who? It doesn't matter that they don't care about us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, let's just go play them and beat them, and then, you know, I'll feel better about it. It's like when we started I don't know. It's hard to.
What would you guys rather do? Win the NL West or win the World Series? Like, the Dodgers can win the NL West, right? And then also have nothing happen. So for you guys, I want the Padre fans to see past the Dodgers, right? We're going for more than that, right? I mean, come on, right? That's what we want.
Yeah.
I want it for you. I want the Padres to win a World Series. I do. It makes me so happy.
It is time.
Yeah. I'm hearing it. I'm hearing it. You want me to get a gun? You want me to go to Cody Bellinger's house? I'm hearing everything you're saying.
I found a book. I'm going to send it to you. It's very detailed.
Yeah.
I understand your frustration. It was the LA Times though, right, Nick?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. There you go.
Dan Shankin or whatever.
Yeah. Bill.
Bill
Shakan.
Yeah. Great writer.
He writes for the LA Times. I mean, what do you expect? Of course.
You know who wrote it? Bruce Bochy. Bruce Bochy wrote it.
His pen name. People don't know that.
Future coach of your San Diego Padres.
Well, Sean, you are in the NL West house. Let's get your prediction. Who do you think is going to win the NL West?
Let's go with the Padres.
All right.
Man.
Oh. Good answer.
Dodgers are done. Dodgers
smart answer.
Done.
Smart
I'm answer. Tired of the Dodgers. Let's get them out of there. Third place. Yeah. I think it's going to go Padres, and then I'll mix it up. Let's say Diamondbacks just come out of nowhere, and Dodgers, Giants, and then of course the Rockies. Why are the Rockies even still a team? What are we doing, Colorado?
I don't know.
That's, can you imagine being a Rockies fan?
Oh. We talked to a Rockies podcaster, and it was. I feel
he
really
okay.
Bad.
He's nice. Yeah, he was okay. Could you hear his words through the tears?
He was just laying on the ground.
His lighting was great.
I'm sorry. Don't at me, Rockies fans. I've been to a game at your ballpark. It was fun. I'm frustrated for you.
They get it.
If you're angry, Rockies fans, if you're angry, you should subscribe to Tox Chrome on YouTube and just take it out there.
Just comment. Just if you, long as you leave a like and a comment, I don't care what you say.
All right. Yeah. Well, you could check out Tox Chrome on YouTube, and what are the other platforms?
If you go to toxchrome.com, that'll go everywhere. You can follow us at Twitter at Tox Chrome. I don't know what our YouTube address is, but like I said, if you go to toxchrome.com, you can find it from there.
And we're always tweeting about it and retweeting it. So
yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on the NL West House, the Kept Faith. Sean, we can have you back maybe later this season and let's
do it.
Let's take a temperature of where we're at with
because the Giants. Yes, before I go, I just want to say that I'm an NL West fan. I hated watching the Dodgers win the World Series, but I also loved it because anytime the media has to talk about the NL West, it makes me happy.
All right.
That's a good answer. I love people talking about the Rockies. I want to hear more. I want to hear more about Ryan McMahon. It always seems.
Yeah, I like Ryan
Hampson.
Yeah, that guy too.
Mike Hampton.
Rymel Tapia. This is the year.
Hey, it's the year. Yeah.
All right. Well, follow us at the Kept Faith and KeptFaith.com. We'll have some stuff up this week. It's opening day week, guys.
It's opening day.
Baseball's back.
All right. Check it out. Check out the Padres Cannon. You're going to have another one up this week.
I'll have one out the day before opening day. Cool. So that'll be exciting. I got a good one. Craig Elston is going to be my guest. Yeah. So it'll be fun.
Sweet. Check that out. That'll be up this week. And let's beat the snakes, right?
Stop the snakes.
All right. We'll see you next week. Keep the faith.